حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، in order to understand the importance of the month of Muharram, I will take the help of the month of Ramadan and compare these two in order that we can understand what is Muharram. So that as we are entering this month, we enter it with ma'rifat, with recognition. We enter this month with ilm. Because those who visit Imam Hussein, the condition for the visit to be acceptable, the condition for the ziyarat to be accepted, the condition for the ziyarat to be valid is that a person who goes to visit the Imam should have ma'rifat of the Imam, should have recognition of the Imam, should know who the Imam is. Otherwise, this visit is futile. It is said in the hadith that those who have the ma'rifat of the Imam, they go with the haq of that ma'rifat, knowing who the Imam is, then that visit, that ziyarat of the Imam is acceptable, it is valid. When we look at the example of the month of Ramadan, and we look at the example of the month of Muharram in comparison to that, we will first of all see, just like we anticipate the month of Ramadan to come, more so we should anticipate the month of Muharram to come. The anticipation of Ramadan, like people wait for the moon to be sighted, and they wait for the news of the moon to come so that their obligation and the blessings of the month can be gained by them. Just like that, a mu'min and a Shia are someone who waits for the month of Muharram to come, to wait for the news of the moon to be sighted so that this month of Muharram and the lessons that it has for him can be gained by him. This is the waiting for the month. Month of Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed. Month of Ramadan is what month? It is a month in which the Quran was revealed. And in a greater way, month of Muharram, when we look at it, is the month in which Qur'an-e-Natiq was revealed. This is the month in which the spoken Qur'an was revealed. And the Qur'an that was revealed in the month of Ramadan came from the skies to us. This is a time in month of Muharram, this Qur'an-e-Natiq ascended from the earth to Allah. Allah Himself says in the Qur'an, in regards to the Shahada of Imam Hussein, Allah says, يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية. O soul that is at rest, come to Allah. Return to Allah, well pleased with Him and well pleasing Him. Salawat ala Muhammad wa And when we look at these two, we see that when we look at the book of Allah, the book of Allah is filled with ayat. They're called ayat because they are signs of Allah. Each ayat is a sign of Allah. And it is not that is the only ayat. You see, everything else is also an ayat of Allah, a sign of Allah. You are also a sign of Allah. We are also a sign of Allah. Some signs are more clear than others. When you look at us, we are a sign if we try to truly understand ourselves. That's why it says, whoever knows himself knows Allah. You see? Because we lead ourselves to Allah if we know ourselves. We lead ourselves to Allah. But when we look at the ayat of the Quran, there's clarity in them. They are clearer to us. They point to Allah. You know what a sign is? A sign, for example, is when you're driving down the street and you see a sign that says, exit this way. Right? There's some signs that are small, and there's some signs that are big. You can't miss them. It's obvious, it's clear. Right? So, the ayat of the Quran are those big signs that you can't miss, that if you go to them, it will point you directly to Allah. And all the other signs, they are more ambiguous. They don't point to Allah right away. You have to really look into them, clean them up, and then you might see Allah's reflection in them. Right? You might see Allah's reflection in them. So what happens is that when we look at the Quran, it is a clear sign to Allah. It is the clear sign. But the greatest sign is not the Quran, not the ayat of the Quran. Where is the greatest sign? Amirul Mu'mineen has says, Ana ayatul kubra. It is the greatest sign. I am the greatest sign of Allah. Kubra means great. Why? Because then you look at Ahlul Bayt, not just one Imam, it applies to all Imam. You look at Ahlul Bayt, they are a more clear sign and a more direct sign and a bigger sign. And we can know, reasoning behind that is very easy. Because the Quran came from the sky to the earth, Ahlul Bayt have shown how to go from the earth to the sky.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
So, when we look at these signs, right, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's when we understand that Ahlul Bayt, the Muharram, in Muharram we learned how to go from here to Allah. That's what we have learned in Muharram. Because Imam Hussein has shown us that sign. That's why he's clear. Right? That's why he's a clear sign towards Allah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
So that is the meaning of revelation of Quran, because Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed. And when we look at both Ramadan and Muharram, we see that the greater ayat are in Muharram, that is showing us how to go towards Allah. The month of Ramadan is the month of fasting, the month of Siyam. is the month in which we accept the prohibition of Allah. Allah told us not to eat for certain hours. So we accepted that prohibition and stopped ourselves from eating from dawn till dusk. Allah said, stop drinking. Do not drink from dawn till dusk. And we accepted that. When you look at Sawm and fasting, what is fasting? Fasting means to let go of these things that we do every day. Simple things. I'm not asking for something hard. Simple things. So when we let go of simple things like water, like food, for certain hours, Allah has given this much importance to that He has honored the month of Ramadan with it. You see what I mean? What I mean to say is that the identity of Ramadan is through fasting. Ramadan gained its identity through fasting. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Fasting has been written on you. The month of Ramadan has been identified. When you know it, by what? By fasting. And what is fasting? Fasting is what Allah is asking in Ramadan. The fasting of Ramadan is what? Certain hours, do not drink and do not eat. Stay away from these things. Let go of these things. Little things. And because we let go of these little things for a few hours, yes, in the month of June, July, August, you know, it's more than a few. In winter time, it's less than a few. Right? But just that we let go of these fasting, just these things, simple things, let go of them. For a few hours, Allah is giving that much importance that He's saying Ramadan has gained its honor by fasting. Allah, just by letting go of these things, yes. Then if that is the case, what is the true meaning of fasting? What is the depth of fasting? What is the height of fasting? That is known in Muharram. There you understand what is the hidden meaning of fasting. Really, you see, when we learn the ahkam of Allah, there's a saying of Imam Khomeini, who advised us in an akhlaqi way. He advised us and said, don't take the laws of Allah superficially without knowing their inner irfani meaning. If you do that, then you're doing khiyanat with Allah's ahkam. Right? You're doing what? You're doing khiyanat, which means that you're not fulfilling the trust. The laws that came, like for example, prayer. What is prayer? Oh, okay, we just do these things. Exercise. What is fasting? You're just going hungry. No, if you don't look at them in their inner meaning, he says that you are betraying Allah's trust by doing that. You're betraying Allah's trust. That's why when you look at this fasting, what is fasting? Fasting means to let go. To let go of things. To let go of things. In Ramadan, the meaning of fasting is to let go of food and water. But when we come to Muharram, that's when we understand the true meaning of fasting. That's when we understand the depth of fasting. You know when? When Zainab let go of her brother. That is fasting. When Zainab told Imam Hussein, you can go. See, for Zainab to let go of her brother, this is the true meaning of fasting. That's where it gets its real meaning from. You know, we make iftar. You know what that iftar is? You know, what have you understood? Why the importance of iftar? Just food? Just so that we eat food? Is that iftar? No, my friends, what is iftar? Why the importance of the time of iftar? You know, we don't understand it in Ramadan, but in Muharram we understand it. You know, the true meaning of iftar is understood when Ali Akbar told his father that I have quenched my thirst. Then you understand that iftar is equated with the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the sweetness of iftar. That is the sweetness of iftar, my friends. This is it. You want to know what iftar is? This is what iftar is. You know? What does Muharram mean for us? What does this Muharram mean for us, you know? You know, I mean, we see that it's very obvious for us. You know, we let go of so many things. We let go of our comfort. We come every night. We cry. We wear black clothes. We put on black clothes of mourning in our masjids and Husainiya. We put away instruments of entertainment and say we will not watch TV. We will not do these things. Because why? Imam Hussein is shaheed. Because Imam Hussein is in this thing, you know, we do all these things. These are, what do you call it? We are letting go of things. The Morana, but that is easy. Those things are so small, nothing. What we are giving up is nothing in Muharram. He says, I know, you know. The answer is, I know, yeah, we know. But that is the generosity of Hussein. That the little we give, he accepts in such a big way. You know, the little that we give, he accepts it. He takes it. Little that we give. This is Imam Hussein's karam. It is his generosity. You know, that is him. That's Imam Hussein. That's the way Hussein is. What can we do? He makes you obliged. He makes you obliged. You know, a small tear that you shed for Imam Hussein, he'll accept it from you. That emotion that you have in your heart that makes you cry for him, he'll accept it from you. This is Imam Hussein. That's the way he is. You know, the month of Ramadan is a month of forgiveness. The month of Ramadan is a month of forgiveness. It is said that someone who witnesses the month of Ramadan, you see, ask for forgiveness, fast in the month of Ramadan. He goes on fasting and Allah will start washing his sins. Whatever sins he has done, Allah will start washing your sins, cleansing you of your sins. Laylatul Qadr comes and you make dua to Allah and ask him for forgiveness. Allah forgives your sins. All that you have done in your past, the month of Ramadan, if you go through it and do not have your sins forgiven that you have done, then you are a wretched person. You're a wretched person. This is the month of Ramadan. The holiness and sacredness of this month is what? Is the fact that all your past sins are forgiven when you come out of it. That's why it's Eid for you. It is Eid because you come out with a clean slate, all your past sins are forgiven. This is the power of the month of Ramadan brings to you. Now when we see the month of Muharram, you know what the month of Muharram is? That is also a month of forgiveness. But with only one difference, my friends. With only one difference. In Ramadan, all your past sins are forgiven. But in Muharram, your past and your future sins are forgiven. Past and your future sins are forgiven. When you cry for Imam Hussein, it is said someone who sheds a tear for Imam Hussein, wajabat lahumul jannah, then jannat is wajib on him. This is not an exaggeration. When Ahlul Bayt speak, it's not an exaggeration that they said something, you know, and it's out of emotion, and we say things, you know, that, oh, this person is a great person, and this and that. It's not emotion. When this came out of the mouth of Ahlul Bayt and said that if you cry, and it doesn't have any conditions on it, it doesn't mean you cry all night long. He says, just a tear for Imam Hussein. Let us make a dua. Let's stop here and make a dua to Allah. That Allah, in this month that we are entering right now of Muharram, this month of Muharram, give us the ma'rifat and recognition and knowledge for the crying of Imam Hussein. Allah, make this month a month in which our sins are forgiven and that we will be of those that Imam Hussein is proud of. My friends, this is the month of forgiveness of sins. You want to know this? This is Imam Hussein. I'm just explaining to you, we are comparing. And I want you to see this. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Someone can say that, you know, what you're saying, you know, is hard to believe. Why is it not written in the Quran? Why is it not written in the Quran? You know? You know, now, I'll reply in two ways, right, to that. You know, there's someone who asked about the beard. He said, Maulana, where is the beard in the Quran? And there's someone who answered and said, you know, it's between the ayat that tell you that Maghrib is 3 rakat and Isha is 4 rakat. Where is that? There is no such ayat. There is no ayat that says Maghrib is 3 rakat. There is no ayat that says Maghrib is 4. Isha is 4 rakat. The idea is simple. Huh? Not everything is written in the Quran. Quran is a constitution, especially the things that have to do with love. Things that have to do with love, Allah wants your love to bring you to it. And things that have to do with obedience, Allah says, this is wajib, do it. This is haram, don't do it. But things that have to do with love, Allah says, you know what? If you have become so good that you can love, then you will find those who you should love. Why? Because those people who are the object of love are more worthier than this, that an unworthy person finds them. Only those who are worthy can find them. If I wrote it down, then every unworthy person would come to them. Every undeserving person would come to them. No, I will make only those who deserve Ahlul Bayt come to Ahlul Bayt. That's why I left it for your ma'rifah to reach that level where you can find love. Now I'll give you an example. You know, and I'll, you know, because we're talking about Muharram and Ramadan, these have to do with time. Let me give you an example of place. And from that, you can understand about time also. You know, one of the most holiest places in the world is the Kaaba. And the place that where the Kaaba is known as the Haram. Haram is a sacred. The name Haram means sacred. Haram means sacred. In it, many prophets are buried. It is the Qibla of all those who believe in Tawheed. It is a Qibla of prayers of all those who believe in Tawheed. Makkah is that place. And in Makkah, Allah has made so many signs of His. Maqam Ibrahim is a sign. Now when you look at Makkah and that azamat and greatness and magnificence that Makkah holds, and those who have been there to Hajj, they know that these rituals with the greatness that they have in them, the awe that they hold in them, make a person humble. This is Makkah. Those who go for Hajj. And those who go for Hajj, you understand. That when you go for Hajj, you do certain things that are wajib on you, and you understand that how Allah made you do these rituals. And you know what? At the end, what is the dua of each haji? That his hajj is accepted. That his hajj is accepted. Otherwise, spending all that money and having to face Wahhabis, dealing with them, going through all the trouble, you know? I mean, at least, you know, we can understand the hardships of doing the rituals there, but looking at their ugly faces and doing them, that makes it harder. You know? So going through all of that, if at the end you find out that it's not accepted, obviously, you know, you feel really sad. Feel really sad. After going through all this, it's still not accepted. What's this? So every haji, the hajj that he has done, his dua is hajjun mabrur. May my hajj be accepted. May this effort of mine be accepted. May this journey be accepted by Allah. May it be accepted by Allah. You see, that hajj, with this azamat, you're praying for its acceptance in this and that. And when we look at Karbala, we see that if someone makes ziyarat of Imam Hussain, it is equal to 70 accepted hajj. 70 accepted hajj. Not just hajj, 70 accepted hajj. It's as if Allah made hajj in order to introduce Imam Hussain. My friends, understand this. 70 accepted hajj if you make the ziyarat of Karbala. And these are not exaggerations. When Masoom says something, it has meaning in it. I'll tell you the reasoning behind it. Tell me, I'll explain it to you so that you know. My friends, Kaaba, with its all its majesty, when we read a hadith, we see that it is said that the hurmat, that the honor of the heart of a believer is worth more than the honor of the Kaaba. The honor of the heart of a mu'min is worth more to Allah than the honor of the Kaaba. Look at the Kaaba and look at a mu'min. What is Hajj? Hajj is that we visit Baytullah? No. You know this. You have, yeah. Those who have been to Hajj know this. That each ritual in Hajj is a emulation of a some sort of distress that some mu'mineen faced. Each ritual, go there and you'll see that. Everything that we do, some sort of distress, some sort of difficulty, some sort of anxiety that some mu'mineen face, Allah looked at that anxiety that their heart went through and that they trusted Allah, and He said, everyone now should duplicate that. What is this Safa and Marwa? Give an example. Safa and Marwa. What is Safa and Marwa? Safa and Marwa is one mother's anxiety of her baby not having water. And she went to Safa. She saw there's no water there. She went to Marwa. She saw there's no water there. She went back to Safa. And this running around that she did, this anxiety that she had, was such that trust that she had in Allah, that Allah said, you know what, everyone from now on who says La ilaha illallah will duplicate what Hajira has done. Now everyone who becomes a Muslim, no matter how big or how small he is, go and do what Hajira did. Go and do what Hajira did. He made a ritual just because one mother was anxious for water for her child. This is Hajj. This is Makkah. Tell me, when you look at Muharram and Karbala, whose honor do you think is greater? The honor of Hajira or the honor of Rubab? Whose honor is greater? Honor of Hajar or the honor of Rabbah? If Allah wanted to make a ritual for what Rabbah went through, what would He do? You know, Hajar found water. Her son lived. Rabbah, how can you grade her and the test that she went through and what she went through? How can you grade that? How can you grade that? This is the honor of Karbala. And friends, you know, Ibrahim, you know, you slaughtered a sheep. You know, you went for your son, but Allah replaced it with a sheep, you know. You know, you had your eyes blindfolded, your hands were shaking. No. You went through it, Allah said, let it be. I'll take a sheep from you. Now, how can we make a ritual for what Imam Hussein did with Ali Akbar? How can we make a ritual for that? Tell me, really. And friends, what is Muharram? What is Muharram? I just want to explain that today. Tomorrow we'll start with the speeches, inshallah. What is Muharram? I want to explain this today. Really. You know, this is, my friends, why Karbala has this azamat, this majesty, this greatness inside of it. This is Karbala. This is Muharram. The Muharram. not yet, brothers. Wait. Yeah, we have time. You know, the month of Ramadan is the month of self-building. Yes. The month of Ramadan is the month of self-building. If someone wants to build himself up, make himself better, Ramadan is an opportune time for it. You're fasting, your willpower is at the highest, you want to change habits in yourself, that is the best time to change habits. You want to leave bad habits, Ramadan is the best time to leave bad habits. You know? But those who know that when you want to improve yourself, self-improvement, self-building. Self-building in its real meaning that nafs that we have to control our nafs, to get it under control. If we try to fight the nafs in order to control it, those who are knowledgeable, those who are practicing, know that what is the benefit of hiding your nafs? They said it is very minimal. What is the effect on you if you fight your nafs? They said it's very minimal. You won't change. It will not help you. Really. A teacher of akhlaq, someone who was teacher of akhlaq in the Hausa, he was giving a lesson on akhlaq in the month of Ramadan. And these lectures were very informative and very good in how to improve yourself, how to change yourself. And so he was giving these lectures, and so what happened is that in these lectures, as he was giving them, this, you know, after the lecture, a student went up to him and asked him a simple question. He says, you know, Sayyid, you know, you gave such excellent lecture and this and that, very informative and very good, this and that, but I want to know something from you. You know, you are a master of akhlaq, you are a teacher of akhlaq, and you yourself are a great person, we see that. Tell me, what changed you? What made you the person you are? Tell me, what made you the person? Are these lessons what made you that? Are these books of akhlaq that made you the person you are? I want to know what is your secret. You know, that teacher looked down and he said, Imam Hussein made me who I am. Imam Hussein changed me. That's all I want to know. Should I read these books? Or should I ask Imam Hussain that Hussain do something to me and make me a person? You know, my friends, let me give you some reasoning behind it so you understand this. You see, fighting your nafs, the whole idea of akhlaq, there's a catch-22 there. There's a catch-22, there's a vicious cycle here. In order to fight your nafs, the idea of fighting your nafs means that you should ignore it. But in order to get to that level, you have to fight it. And in order to fight it, you have to pay attention to it. If you're paying attention to it, how can you ignore it? You see the vicious cycle. You see the catch-22. You see, there's a round that you go in, there's a circle that you go in. In order to make yourself better, you need to ignore your nafs. In order to ignore it, you need to fight it. In order to fight it, you need to pay attention to it. As long as you're paying attention, how can you ignore it? It doesn't work. And hence, those people who teach akhlaq, many times you see they teach it incorrectly. How do you do things? It doesn't work like that. There's this vicious cycle here that you will be around it and you'll be frustrated with your life trying to fight your nafs, and you see, I'm never getting better at it. I'm trying for 40 years. Inshallah, Allah will give me reward for effort. Inshallah. It's good. You know, we can hope for it, right? We can hope for it. But my friends, understand this, you know? This vicious cycle is only broken when? When this nafs that you have, you pay attention to it. In order to fight, you have to pay attention to it. The only time you don't pay attention to your nafs is when you get attached to someone who's better than you. When you get attached to someone who's better than you, then you start to fall in love with him. When you start to fall in love with him, then you start seeing him. You don't see yourself. That is when you give your when you give yourself the opportunity to change. See, Ahlul Bayt have broken this chain of vicious cycle. They broke this vicious cycle. Why? When they came into our lives, when you go to the Azadari of Imam Hussain, what happens? You say that, one, you look, you just hear that. You just hear about them, how good they are, and you make yourself such that, you know what? I fall in love with them. I fall in love with them, I start to forget myself. When I start to forget myself, that is the first stage where I give my chance to change. This is, my friends, what Imam Hussain does to you. This is what he does to you. My friends, month of Muharram is the month of self-building. This is the month in which Imam Hussain not only shows you the way, he takes you by the hand and he says, listen, I will show you. I will show you. You know? My friends, this is the month of self-building where we can improve ourselves. I want to apologize. And I want to apologize for my speech. The reason I want to apologize is because, you know what? I'm saying the whole idea of the speech is that Imam Hussain, his love is what makes us better ourselves, ignore ourselves. But you know what? The whole speech, I'm speaking differently. My whole speech, looking back at it, you know, while Imam Hussain is right now wandering in the desert with his family and children, we are speaking about what we can get out of Muharram. The benefits we can get out of Muharram. That the rahmat and these things we can get out of Muharram. It was selfish. It is really selfish. And Imam Hussain, but what can we do? Any dealing with Imam Hussain, anyone who deals with Imam Hussain, it's a one-sided dealing he has. You cannot deal with Imam Hussain, but that Imam Hussain leaves you obliged. He leaves you owing him. What can we do? Anytime we approach Imam Hussain, that is the way Hussain is. Really, that's the way Imam Hussain is, you know? No, really. You know, soon he will reach Karbala. And you know what? When he reached Karbala, before he even asked to settle down there, before he even asked everyone to get off the camels, before he even settled down there and pitched his tent, you know what Imam Hussein did? Imam Hussein, he sent for those people who live around that land. Bani Asad, they came to him and and Imam Hussein said, you know what, I want to buy this land from you. I want to buy this land from you. And he bought that land from them. You know, he bought that land from them. He says, now I bought this land, it's mine, I give it back to you. I give it to you. Whatever you earn from it, listen, at least take care. Those people who come here as my guest, those people who come to visit me, take care of them for 3 days from the earnings you get from this land. Take care of them for 3 days. Imam Hussein hasn't even pitched his tents. His family is tired from the trip. He hasn't given them time to breathe or rest, but he's thinking of us and what we will eat and drink when we come to Karbala. And when we go to Karbala, we are looking for where we will live, what we will eat, what we will eat. This is the way Hussein is. He will make you obliged. He will make you obliged. That's the way he is. You will owe him. You will see how much he will give you. How much he will give you, you will owe him. You know, there was a marja'i taqleed. You know, marja'i taqleed, you know, these people who are maraji and marja, their students are also great ulama. You know, they're also great ulama. I mean, if I am here preaching to you, I'm a student of their students, of their students. You know, I mean, imagine the chain of command that's up there. And those people at that level, you know, they, you know, this marja one time had a dream. And in that dream, he saw that his friend, who's an alim, alim ad-din, very big alim, he was sitting there. And Imam Hussein came in the room. And he sat down. After him, Hazrat Abbas came in the room and sat next to Imam Hussein. Very disciplined, very obedient. Sat next to Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein said, Abbas, open this book. Abbas opened the book. And he said, Abbas, strike this name off the list. Abbas struck this name off the list. He says, Abbas, write this name in the list. And he wrote that name in the list. And then he said, close the book. The book was closed. Imam Hussein and Hazrat Abbas stood up and they left. The name that was added was the name of his friend. It was added in that book, name of his friend. And so he woke up. He said, what strange dream I have about my friend. He's an alim ad-din, very big alim. So he came to the friend. He says, what did you do last night? What did you do last night? He says, nothing. He said, no, there must be something spiritual you have done. He says, I don't know. He says, well, this is the dream I had about you. When that alim friend heard that about the dream, he started crying. He says, why are you crying? He says, you know what? Yesterday I was thinking, all my life I've been teaching Islam. And I've been saying, Qala Sadiq, and I've been teaching ahkam and laws and this and that. And I realized, not once did I read the majlis of Imam Hussein. Not once did I read the maqtal of Imam Hussein. So I went to the store and bought a book and I said, you know what, I will start reading the maqtal of Imam Hussein. I went to my family and before we had dinner, I read few lines for them and we cried for Imam Hussein. And we said we will do this every day. And that marja was saying that just because of that, Imam Hussein wrote you in the list of dhakireen and those who remember Hussein.
Hussein, we thank you that you did not strike our name out from that list. This first of Muharram is a proof of that, that you allowed us to come here and remember you and cry for you. Hussein, we are grateful for you that you didn't strike our names off the list of Zakirin and those who remember you and cry for you. Hussein, we are grateful for you. My friends, this caravan of Hussein is a very strange caravan, very strange caravan. You know, this night, tonight, it is wandering in the desert. It is wandering in the desert. And you know, let us take this time to go to Karbala and to clean the ground of Karbala. Because you know what? These people who are coming in these caravans, they're not desert dwellers. They're not used to living in the desert. They're not used to living on camels. They're not used to doing these. Let us go there and clean the place for them so that when they come, at least they'll have some rest and they can take some time to breathe. This family, this caravan that's coming, you know, it's a strange caravan. You know why? Because their family, their women and children in that caravan. Imam Hussein, all we ask you, why did you bring your women and children with you in this type of journey, in this type of travel? Even when we go on a vacation, we don't go through this hardship and don't take our children like this. But you took your children in this type of hardship, and you are coming towards us, and you are coming towards Karbala. Now this caravan, as it's coming towards Karbala, what can we say? Each mother is with her child. When we see next to this caravan that is wandering in the desert at night, this night, they're wandering in the desert. You go near that caravan and you will see in one of the camels, Rabab is with her son Ali Asghar. So we can say to Rabab, be happy. This would be the last journey you will have with Ali Asghar. Zainab, this will be the last journey you will have where Ali Akbar will help you to come off the camel, Zainab. And the ladies of the Haram of Rasulullah, look at Abbas for the last time, because this is the last time Abbas will be protecting you.
سيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. مات من حسين.